Hello and welcome to Think Business Futures. We're coming to you from Tirisia in Sydney on the Gadigal lands of the Eora Nation. I'm Anthony Dockrell. They say there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. Well, maybe we should add inflation to the list. Inflation has certainly been in the news for the last 2 years, and in recent times, the debate around inflation has shifted to a more troubling debate about the nature of our economy and its ability to serve all Australians. And the question at the heart of this debate is a big one. Has the cost of living crisis been used as a cover by many of our largest companies to increase prices and with it, profits? Many areas of the Australian economy are highly concentrated and lacking in true competition, and it's hurting consumers every day. A recent ABC Four Corners episode highlighted a problem with anti-competitive behaviour in our supermarket sector. And could this lack of competitiveness be letting down Australians when it comes to price and transparency? To discuss how inflation may have been used against us by our two largest supermarket chains, we're joined by Dr. Sanjoy Paul. Dr. Sanjoy Paul is an associate professor at the UTS Business School. Dr. Sanjoy Paul, welcome back to Think Business Futures.
Thanks, Anthony.
Sanjoy, we all hear all the time that we're living in a cost of living crisis. Are we living in a crisis or are we caught up in a wave of hysteria?
I would say it's a crisis. It's an extreme cost of living pressure we have had in Australia. So we know that it has started since just after the pandemic. It's, I would say during 2020, 2021. And since then, we have been seeing that prices have been increasing aggressively, and that create lots of pressure on Australian consumers. So yes, we have been living in a crisis moment in terms of cost of living pressure.
Australia did experience rapidly growing inflation, hitting something like 7.8% in 2022, but many of our largest companies are experiencing rapidly growing profits. That doesn't paint a picture of companies caught in a cost spiral, does it?
Yeah, I think so, that inflation was one of the many issues. So the problem was, so businesses blamed inflation as a cover, okay, because of the inflation, price increased. But the inquiry report from ACTU, they found that their pricing strategies were profit-focused. And because of that, inflation increased. So it's kind of chicken and egg problem. Which comes first? This is a big debate. But if we notice that grocery prices and prices in many other retail sectors have been increased above the inflation rate. So that indicates we cannot blame only inflation for that. At the same time, you would see the profit. Supermarkets and other sector like aviation, electricity companies, they made major profit. So significant profits in last 2-3 years. So it indicates that there is something happened in their pricing, and ultimately those increased their total profits.
I mean, speaking for myself, I did feel the price shock that happened in the last 2 years. We had, two factors, I think, have made the inflation spike very painful for a lot of people. One was that we had a long period of lower than average inflation with stable prices. So we got used to living in a low inflation environment. But also wages growth has been basically stalled. We weren't really ready for what hit us, were we?
Actually, we were not. So that was a shock for many Australian people. So their salary was not increased compared to the their grocery bills, increment in their grocery bills and other essential services. So that was an absolute shock for many Australians and for myself as well, because I was struggling at the beginning to survive this grocery bills and everything, and that increased too much. So yes, that was an absolute shock.
I mean, we'd like to think we're buying products in a competitive marketplace, but like your article in The Conversation showed recently, when you look at it, the marketplace really isn't that competitive in Australia, is it?
No, it is not competitive at all. So we have so many duopolies in Australia, in supermarket sector, in aviation, even in banking. We have so much less competition in the market, and that gives too much power to those companies to squeeze their suppliers, buyers, and they can set any price for their services and products.
You mentioned duopolies, and we've got basically two major supermarket retailers, we've got two aircraft carriers, three telecommunication companies, and so on. How serious is that we have such concentration in our economy?
I believe it is one of the root causes for the extreme cost of living pressure we are seeing here, because the competition should lead to reduce the price. But in Australia, because of lack of competition, the opposite happened. So price increases. If one supermarket increases the price, other one immediately increases it. So it is a big duopoly, if you say, lack of competitions here. And that is one of the root causes. If you see the statistics, two major supermarkets have 65% market share. And that is too much, from my understanding. And it is very, it's a very concentrated market here in Australia. And we used to before, because we have a stable pricing situation. But now things are coming forward because of the aggressive profit or increased in their profit. So that kind of, in one end, Australians are, having extreme cost of living pressure. They are struggling, but on the other hand, they are making record profits. So that's kind of, that doesn't give me the equation why that happened. And that creates so much, pressure on people. They became angry why this happened. And because of that pressure and, media coverage as well, government initiated those few inquiries, I believe. Yeah. So, yes. So this is a problem. Concentration market is a big problem here.
Now, the former boss of the Australian Consumer Competition Commission, or the ACCC, Alan Fells, has done a review of all of these things on behalf of the ACTU. What did he find?
He found many common things. We already know that, because he clearly mentioned that the pricing strategies are unfair, questionable, complex, and misleading to consumers. So he mentioned that this is very exploitative. So we should not have paid so much money for the services we're getting here. So they said the strategies imposed by retailers are profit-focused. So though he investigated several sectors, so including aviation, banking, childcare, electricity, supermarkets, but he found very common issues in all sectors. For example, price discrimination, weak competition, lack of price transparency, difficulty in sourcing suppliers, lack of price policies, lack of consumer awareness. So I believe, yes, we knew a bit about it, but that report is a good starting point to investigate it further. So I believe ACCC will consider that, and we'll find out more about these issues and way forward for the future.
Now, supermarkets are one area where there's a lot of anger. Do you think we have good reason to be angry?
I think so, yeah. So our grocery bill gone up more than 20%, 30%, but inflation went up by 7.8% max. So what was the wrong? What was the issue? Myself, personally, I am angry, and I know I have been receiving many emails after writing those articles in The Conversation. They are providing their stories. And yes, I believe General Australians are also very very angry with this situation.
Now, Coles and Woolworths, as you mentioned, get basically about 65% of the spending on supermarket goods. Is that an acceptable situation?
If you compare with other countries like UK and USA, they have more than two supermarkets. In UK, they have five major supermarkets, and in USA, they have more than five. And their markets are highly competitive. They do not have this kind of duopoly in supermarkets, and we have here. So, yeah, it's a long history when Coles Woolworths started as a variety store, and then gradually other competitors got out from the markets and they survived and they came to this position. Yes, it is too much for a competitive market.
A recent Four Corners episode outlined how our big two supermarket chains use their power and position. What did they find?
Yeah, they found many, many critical factors, and some of them are very legal in Australia. Also, some of others should be investigated further to make sure that those are aligned with the competition laws. So if you see the first one, the Four Corners, they said that supermarket squeezed farmers, and farmers have very little choice to sell their crops because we have only two major supermarkets. So literally, farmers have no power to deny the supermarket decision. So whatever they say in terms of pricing and other quality matters, farmers have to accept this. So that is kind of because of the, you know, market share and power, they can dominate the suppliers and farmers easily because farmers have very little choice to sell their crops to other supermarkets because they're small and also many independent. They don't buy directly from farmers. And second one, if you see that supermarkets, for example, Coles, they received a lump sum payment to accept the price increase offered by suppliers. So this kind of lump sum payment was for promotional, but at the end of the day, these, you know, increase in price and promotional cost will be added to the product price and ultimately will pass on to consumers. And if you see the third one was advertisement cost. Both Coles and Woolworths, they offer in-house advertisement in their radio magazines. And many times suppliers pay money, significant amount of money for advertising their products. Ultimately, these advertisement costs also pass on to the consumers. And if you see that, they also find there is a big team to both Coles and Woolworths. They follow the price of, both each other's price. So if you see, if someone increase the price, the other party immediately follow this and increase the price accordingly. So it's kind of following each other. So my question is here, competition should lead to lower the price, but why this happened in terms of increasing the price? So are they following each other or competing with each other? So this is something I believe there is a big point to investigate if there were any anti-competitive behavior here. So ATCC should consider it. And as you said, blaming inflation. So blaming inflation, I found that was the most common dialogue or conversation we received from the supermarket, that inflation is the only thing for increasing the price. But our analysis, statistics, and data, that doesn't add up because price increases for many products and services above the inflation rate. And not only above, it's way too higher than the inflation rate. So it does not indicate that inflation is the only factor here. So I believe there are many pricing strategies are questionable. For example, discount, promotion, shrinkflation, reducing the packet size, but keeping the price same. So those all are responsible for increasing the price. So blaming inflation or inflation was used as a cover. And from our analysis, we believe that that was not the case. Then if you see code of conduct, they clearly said code of conduct is a joke with, having no ability to impose penalty. So this is something is a big concern for both suppliers and also for consumers, because if a code does not have ability to impose the penalty, how can you monitor the behavior, anti-competitive behavior, and, take actions accordingly? So this is, overall findings from the four corners. I believe, those findings are really useful. So there are some point about the market share, market powers, and using them. So there are some point supermarket could misuse their power. I'm not sure at this moment, but HCCC should investigate that further if they have misused their powers to squeeze their suppliers and also increasing the prices.
There's a lot to unpack in there, and I want to tease some of these points through a little bit more. Let's go back to the farmers. So one of the things that strikes me as a shopper is I've just noticed that a bag of carrots is $1.99, and the price just seems to be set. And they're very minor variations, but nothing that you would expect, if it was a proper market price. Is it fair to say that consumers are being shielded from price fluctuations and that it's the farmer, the one who's left absorbing these variations and costs?
Yes, for certain crops, it is true, but not for everything. If you see other crops like cucumber, tomatoes, price increased.
Yep.
So yes, but for some essential items like carrots, you provided an example. I believe, suppliers absorb the cost and they're protected from the, and consumers are protected from the fluctuation for a limited number of products, not for everything.
And with carrots also, like I know farmers, a lot of their stock is basically rejected because it doesn't meet aesthetic quality. So the farmers are really squeezed from every direction, aren't they? The Four Corners also found that suppliers were being forced to pay Coles if they wanted to put up a price. This kind of, I thought, was kind of shocking. So if they had to put up a price, because of, say, the price of petrol, electricity, those sorts of things had gone up, they actually had to pay for the privilege of putting up a price. How does that work, and is it even legal?
It is not illegal in Australia, so they can negotiate with suppliers for anything. So it is not illegal, but it is a worry for us as a consumer, because if supermarket behave like this with suppliers and they negotiate to increase the price because of this lump sum payment for the promotion, so ultimately consumers will be impacted because their price will increase and consumers have to pay more. So this is not illegal in Australia, but I believe there is a limit for that. So ACCC should find out more how can they set a policy in terms of this kind of behaviors so that consumers are protected as well.
The other aspects of Four Corners found, which I was surprised by, but when I thought about it, I shouldn't be surprised at all, was the whole idea about a special. So, you walk around Coles or Woolworths and you see products that are 50% off, 25% off. Yeah. It seems like an amazing bargain. But what we don't understand is that the price is actually normally artificially inflated up to basically factor in when it is on special.
Yes.
Are consumers being basically played as mugs here?
I think so. So they increase the price, then they discounted it by 50% or certain percentage, and it is not below that their original price. We found many cases like this. And also, if you see, when you go to the supermarkets for 50%, and if you see 50% discount, so it's kind of a drag. If you see that Four Corners analysis, the insider said clearly that it's like a drag, and you will end up paying more because you'll buy more by seeing that special discounts. So in theoretically, we called it high-low pricing strategy. It means you set up your price originally high, then you will be discounted to a lower price. So then demand will increase, customer will buy more, and you'll make profit from that. So this high-low pricing strategy sometimes is unfair and unethical to many consumers, because some customers are paying more, some are paying less. How can you follow all the promotions, especially every day? It is not possible. So that's why our recommendation here would be everyday low pricing. That means setting a standard price for everyone, not high, not too low, but we'll protect both suppliers and consumers. And so supplier would be more beneficial in terms of setting a fixed price or standard price for all time.
As someone who switched over to shopping at Aldi, one of the things I've noticed is that their prices are cheaper, but there's no specials unless they're basically getting rid of something. So you don't get that sugar hit of seeing a product marked down 50%. And I've had people say to me, Aldi's more expensive than Coles and Woolworths. I try to explain to them, I don't think that's true. But I guess the thing is that, it doesn't feel cheaper. And you have to drill down into the detail, looking at individual products over a period of time to show that it is cheaper. Is it fair to say that we're just being manipulated by Coles and Woolworths?
I'm not sure about that. But what I can tell you here, if you compare with Aldi, with Coles and Woolworths, they are not comparable, because their business policies, business models are different. So if you go to Aldi, you'll find very less varieties options and options available to you compared to Coles and Woolworths. And you don't have Aldi stores in everywhere in Australia. So yeah, in metro areas we have, but if you go to countryside and other areas, you may not able to find Aldi stores everywhere. So there, policies, yes, everyday low pricing. So they keep price same, they don't offer discount. But I don't believe that they are costly than Coles and Woolworths. So if you do shopping and other things, I believe for the long term, if you compare your grocery bills for about the year, you'll find it more accurate outcome. So yeah, you cannot compare it from a single shopping.
One of the other aspects that you've already mentioned is that Coles and Woolworths basically match their prices closely. Mm. That cuts to the heart of the whole idea of a competitive market, doesn't it?
Yeah, so this is not the idea for the competitive market. So competitive market should be target for lowering the price, reducing the price as much as possible. But here, I'm a bit upset about this kind of behavior when supermarkets, the giant supermarket, they do it regularly and increase their price by following each other.
Clearly, we need more competition, but it's not easy to set up a supermarket chain, having the warehouses, the logistics that go with it. Are we stuck with the system we have?
It's kind of, I would say, because of the unique structure of Australia, we have populations that are concentrated to particular regions, and also we don't have too much potential sites for new supermarkets. So yes, so that's why we need to find something. The government need to work on with relevant stakeholders and policymakers to find something to boost the competitions in Australia, because we have very unique structure and it is challenging as well.
That's been suggested that a mandatory code of conduct should be introduced with real fines and basically with real teeth. What would that look like, and is it a good idea?
Yeah, it is better than nothing, I would say. So mandatory code of conduct will not bring full benefit to, you know, to consumers. So if you see, it will protect a bit suppliers, but it will not fully protect the consumers, because consumers are not integrated or included in the code of conduct. Also, code of conduct does not have the ability to monitor the price and regulating it. So they don't have ability to regulate the price. But yes, it is better in terms of the benefit to the suppliers. They will be protected and they will have some you know, laws in front of them so that they can use those you know, rules and regulations for themselves to protect themselves from unethical or unfair behavior coming from the supermarkets.
One of the other ideas that was floated was basically having transparency with the prices that farmers are paid. So, you know, if I go and buy my bag of carrots at $1.99 and I saw that the farmer was getting 10 cents a kilo, obviously, you know, there's something going wrong. Would that be a good system?
Currently, we have a dairy code of conduct. So if you see the dairy code of conduct, we know that how much suppliers are receiving from a liter of milk. So yes, it will bring a bit of transparency to consumers because they know how much supermarkets are paying to the suppliers in terms of their buying price. So yes, that will give some transparency, but not full scale transparency, because they have their whole supply chain, transportation, distribution, warehousing, and every step cost will be added up. And also they have employees, ways, and other things to pay. So yes, so ultimately the final pricing, it's kind of a black box to us. We don't know how much cost have been added and how the pricing have been set for the customers. So if we can bring that level of transparency, it would be great. But I would say, yes, this mandatory code of conduct will be a starting point for that, because we know the buying price, how much they're paying to the farmers. Yes.
What about the idea of breaking up the supermarket giants? Would that be a possible solution?
My return question would be, is that possible? So from my understanding, it is very difficult, if not impossible. So we know that they are capturing 65% of market share. And it will be more helpful if government could allow new businesses and supermarket and help them establishing here and boosting their competitions, not breaking them. So it's kind of distributing the market share to new businesses and boosting the competition among them. And my another suggestion would be empowering and support SMEs and local grocery stores so that people can go there and buy their essential groceries easily. And that will divert some customers from those giant supermarkets to local grocery stores. And that could be a breakup in their market share gradually. If we can establish this in all suburbs in Australia, we have existing networks of SMEs and, you know, small grocery stores in every suburb. But government could consider empowering them, giving support so that they can sell their groceries, you know, and necessary essential groceries at the same price all Coles and Woolworths are selling. And then people will not go to Coles and Woolworths for their small, you know, a few items. So that could be a good point to break it up. I would say, allowing new business, helping them here to establish, and empowering SMEs and local grocery stores so that people can buy it easily if they need few essential items.
Finally, we've talked about the problems that are baked into the Australian economy, in key sections of the economy, and we've talked about a few solutions that have already been floated. Is there anything that you think we should be doing that hasn't been discussed yet?
Yes, I think there is an important thing we need to do, because if you see the recent history of 2020 and since 2021, AFFC did not receive too many complaints from suppliers. Because suppliers usually don't make complaint against supermarket. They know that because they have a contract, they're scared of intimidation, and you know, so that's why there was very low number of complaints to AFFC. So question is here, we have some scope to improve it. Rather than waiting for the complaint, AFFC should proactively investigate and talk to suppliers. So make sure that suppliers are comfortable and farmers are comfortable to talk and give their details about the competitions and if there was any misuse of market share or if anything wrong happened to them. It is something they will not speak up, but AFFC should proactively talk to them and find it out. This is number one. Second one would be raising consumer awareness. Like we as a customer, sometimes we go to one shop and do all the shoppings, but you're comparing the prices among few stores and checking everywhere and opening the mind to shop from few shops to save the grocery bills. And third one would be media coverage and public pressure to them so that they consider this kind of cost of living crisis. A supermarket should consider it and they should price their product in a fair and transparent way for every Australian, and they can get the relief from the cost of crisis.
Dr. Sanjoy Paul, thanks for being on Think Business Futures.
Thanks, Anthony, for having me.
And thanks for listening to the program. This edition was recorded at the studios of 2SER and is made possible by the assistance of the UTS Business School. If you want to listen to this program again or share it with your friends, just go to 2SER.com or you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Think Business Futures will be back next week. I'm Anthony Dockwell. Thanks for listening.